The Deep Analysis Podcast, in association with the Information Coalition.
Hello, and welcome back to the Deep Analysis Podcast. Coming to you from Half Moon Bay in California, where I'm based this week, working with clients in sort of the Silicon Valley area, the Bay Area. And I thought that might be the theme for this podcast, the dot-com bubble to Documentum. So I'm aware that many people, maybe most people who are listening to this podcast, have and some knowledge at least of the dot-com bust and bubble, but I'm one of those people who sort of lived through it, starting out as an analyst in 98, so it was sort of coming to its peak with massive market valuations, and then just a few years later crashing, and literally, I think it was about 47, 48% of startups at the time went out of business, and trillions, literally, were written off market caps. It was a devastating time. I saw myself some really tragic stories because, of course, it wasn't just wealthy investors. It was people out here who were paying rent and putting food on the table for their families who were impacted. And we went from a boom economy where the traffic was back to back on the 101 from San Francisco down to San Jose within just, well, really a year, to being able to drive that in under an hour without any traffic at all. Empty office buildings everywhere. It was really quite apocalyptic, to be frank with you. But we learned a lot from it. It certainly wasn't the end, as we know. The infrastructure was put in place. Those undersea cables were built. Data centers were built out. Enterprise-grade databases and servers and hardware of all shapes and sizes were there. And really, the seeds were sown. And out of the dot-com bust, of course, came the likes of Google and Facebook and LinkedIn and the others who'd been there before, like Microsoft, IBM, and Cisco, all took a bit of a beating, but all bounced back. One of the firms, though, and really was probably the number one firm for me at the time, was Documentum. Not technically in Silicon Valley, they're up in Pleasanton, they still are, up in Pleasanton on the East Bay there, but nevertheless part of Silicon Valley history, really. They were a firm that in many ways typified the future of the valley here. And the reason I'm focusing on them today is that, like a bad penny, they keep coming back. And certainly over the last 3 weeks, I guess, of my client work, Documentum seems to have been appearing in almost every conversation. I've talked to 6-7 different large enterprises who are Documentum customers, and it's just really helped me to reassess where we're really at as an industry for ECM, and what that might mean for us moving forward. One of the things I've learned, and I guess I sort of had an inkling of this, and we've talked about it in previous podcasts, is that ECM is incredibly sticky. And even though many of those early Documentum implementations were tough and difficult, I was involved in a few of them where, you know, thousands of licenses were bought and less than hundreds were rolled out over a couple of years. These deals were huge, even by today's standards. But even if those birth pains, if you like, were very difficult, the fact is over the years, the repositories have filled up. People I've spoken to have between 50 and many hundreds of millions of documents in their Documentum repositories. And despite the fact that Documentum went through a very tough and difficult time at EMC and is now part of OpenText, I have to be frank with you and say maybe I didn't find a very happy customer in my discussions, but nor did I find anybody who is even contemplating ripping and replacing their Documentum implementations. And that points to the fact that it's part of the infrastructure now, and ECM is part of the infrastructure now, and if people invested early, the risk, the complexity, the cost just doesn't make it realistic to consider ripping and replacing and moving on. So despite analysts and pundits and journalists alike telling us that they're going to move people off Documentum, or they are doing so. The fact is that there's over 4,000, I believe, pretty large implementations of Documentum out there. You can add to that the thousands of FileNet and early OpenText and one of the many hundreds of other document management systems which exist. Add all of those together and you have a massive, massive footprint of billions of documents that are staying put. So on the one hand, that says, well, we're a mature industry. And again, this is ground we've sort of covered in the past. But I think for me, one of the key takeaways here is just how sticky, to repeat that, these systems are, just how reluctant people are to move off them. But nevertheless, in my conversations, just how excited and ambitious they are to build and move forward. They don't want another repository, but many of them definitely want improved processes, improved workflows, more analytics, and they're working on those projects. Some of them are at advanced stages, some of them are at early stages, but all of them that I spoke to are really, in their own way, very ambitious about what we like to call digital transformation. But digital transformation doesn't mean starting all over again. I think for most established organizations in the private and public sector, what it actually means is making the best of what you've already got, building on top of it, and gradually transforming it over time. And if I have one quick takeaway from it all is that certainly in the conversations of the past few weeks, but certainly the conversations of the past few years, is that the repository is not the place people are going to start. People are going to start maybe analyzing what's in the repository. And certainly the number one, I think, for just about everyone that I've spoken to is more and more and more process automation. But process automation with dirty or poorly managed dark data, whatever we want to call, is just not going to happen. So if you already have your documents in some kind of structure, some kind of order, no matter how complicated and difficult the repository, or expensive for that matter, that's typically going to be your starting place, not a big migration off to another new repository, another new vendor, another new set of relationships, another new set of skills. So maybe a statement of the obvious this podcast, but it's just fascinating for me back out here in Silicon Valley. I'm out here pretty much once a quarter, how in our industry, it's the same people, it's the same faces, people have been around a long time, and the bubble came and went. There's arguments as to whether we're in the middle of another bubble at the moment. I don't think we are. I don't think there's anything really strongly to point to that in the tech sector. But we're also at a point where the real interest lies in artificial intelligence, machine learning, analytics in general, more and more process automation, be that robotic or otherwise, and definitely a lot of interest, although very early, in blockchain and the future of that. Ripping and replacing old systems, not so much. I will say, though, in fairness, just to sort of contradict myself here, if there is one of the older vendors out there that does seem to be ripe for ripping and replacing, and that has to be early FileNet implementations, which were much more transactional. The hardware and the software really hasn't stood the test of time. So there are exceptions, but all in all, for those who are in our industry and looking forward, I think that's the key. Look forward, don't look back. But the positive is that those thousands of repositories which are full of documents are incredibly ripe for further development and enhancement. That's what the customers want, and maybe that's who we should be listening to, not the pundits, the analysts, or maybe I fall into that category, but I hope you'll keep on listening to the podcast anyway. Got another one coming up from Half Moon Bay, and we're going to be looking in the next one to a bit more depth, really, on legal technology, where they have sort of leapt from being probably the most laggardly conservative sector in our industry to one of the most exciting and innovative. And I'll be honest, that's caught everybody unawares. Certainly did me anyway. I can tell you that. And so until next time, if there's anything I can help you with, ping me an email, ping me on LinkedIn, ping me on Twitter, whatever works for you. Always happy to chat. And at Deep Analysis, you know, what do? We help people understand this messy marketplace, look for opportunities, be you an end user organization or a vendor. And just navigating and handholding through the complexity can be of great value, I think. And I hope if you're getting a little bit lost, you'll think of us. But either way, I look forward to talking with you and hopefully meeting you in person at some point via the Deep Analysis podcast.